All right. We have anybody new to Homefront this morning? I don't see any new faces. Maybe a few. Yeah, we have a few new faces. Well, welcome. We will have you all that are new today sing a song for us a little bit later, so just be prepared for that. We're glad to have you. Homefront is a ministry for couples at RBC. We're glad that you're here. And this morning we're going to spend a little bit of time getting to know one another, as if everybody wasn't already doing that. There's some good conversation. So we've got some questions up here. Has anybody been swimming yet this year? I mean, I know it's been a little chilly, at least for my taste. It's been a little chilly to go swimming. A lot of you natives look at me like I'm crazy, but I mean, unless it's about 95, 96 degrees, it doesn't feel like swimming temperature to me. So we want to know what you were known for on the diving board. I think Pat Casa was probably a gainer guy. I don't know. Do you even know what that is? No, okay. And then we want you to briefly describe the dynamics of your immediate family growing up. So these are some things that should get you talking. And then this morning it's going to be a little different, and Jason will be telling you more about that. But just be ready. Be ready to go with the flow. Okay, we're going to those of you that are like my wife and are everything has to be in its place, everything has a place. We're going to change things up on you a little bit this morning, so we need you to be ready for that, okay? So this is your warning. Get prepared. Be ready. It's going to be a little different, but be ready for that. So I'm going to give you a few minutes this morning just to answer these questions. Enjoy.
All right, folks. We're going to get started. I know that last question was a little deeper than we normally go at the beginning, and I see that we have some big tables this morning that are pretty packed out, so I wanted to give you a little bit of extra time to talk at your tables and get to know one another. But I also need to leave time at the end because, as Greg mentioned, we're doing something a little bit different today. You are going to help me with the teaching portion. And that is not because I didn't have enough time. It is because I want you to become students of God's Word. I want you to become students of God's Word, and that's part of why we're here. I see some new faces out there this morning, and about once a month, I try to just circle back and remind everyone what this is all about. And I'm a big strategy, mission, vision kind of guy. That's just how God has made me. I know that's freakishly weird to some of you, but that's just how my mind works. And that, not only was I wired like that, but then I came out of the business world, and that's just how I think. And we talk about the mission of Homefront a lot. We talk about strengthening families, and we do that through our mission, which is to create community, which is you guys sitting at tables and getting to know one another. But we also talk about teaching from God's Word. That is the mission of Homefront. But we don't often talk about the vision. When the Korsevals, Hendersons, Hills, and Getzes, that's your core leadership team, when we got together about a year ago and we started talking about, well, what could we do for couples? And then we didn't even have the name Homefront at the time. What would be really good in our world, in our community in Northern Virginia for couples? And we just kept coming back to one thing, and that was impact the divorce rate. If we could just impact the divorce rate, and for those of you guys that like mission and vision, mission is typically something within your control. Vision is not. It's a dream. But our dream here at Homefront is to impact the divorce rate. If in some way, shape, or form, we can help all of you stay married, we consider it a win. Because we're trying to impact the divorce rate. Now, you might say, well, that's fighting a negative. Well, there's a positive side to that. We want you to experience the blessing and the pleasure that God intended in your marriage. That's the plus side. That's where we all want you going. But in terms of the community in which we live, we're trying to impact the divorce rate. And that's what Homefront is all about. That's our dream. And if there's anything that I can do, that Greg can do, that Kathleen can do, that we can do to assist you in that, we'd love to try to help. So this morning, we continued the discussion around parenting, and we said we were going to hit four big topics. Some of you guys know that I teach the parenting classes here at RBC, and there's a lot of content that we cover, tons of things. And even in those parenting classes, which are weeks long, we don't have time to cover everything about parenting because there's just too much. But what I tried to do, and Bridget and I tried to do, is pull out four big nuggets that we tend to forget in our own marriage and remind you guys of it over a four-week period. So that's what we're going to do. Started last week, three more weeks. And then in the final week, and I want you guys to start thinking about this now, in the final week, we're going to have an open Q&A. So you guys just come in with any parenting questions you have. It's kind of, you know, shoot the pastor and his wife. Just try to hit us with any question you have about parenting, and we will try to answer it as best we can. Or we'll say, we don't know, can we get back to you on that? So that's going to be the fifth week as we close out this series on parenting. But today, we're going to get into number two. And by the way, side note, I'm not usually dressed like this. So for those of you guys that are here for the first time at Homefront, RBC is a casual church, but I'm usually not this casual. But I'm leaving right after Homefront to go to youth camp with my two oldest kids and a bunch of people. You'll see the buses out there. That's why your parking was blocked this morning. So youth camp. So if you guys, if you pray as a family, if you pray as a couple, and you have a little bit of spare time to throw up this week, I would encourage you to pray for about 260 kids that are going away on youth camp this week, about 60 leaders that are going away to spend time, just invest in these kids. That would be a great favor to me if you could pray about that. So that's why I look like this today, kind of slobbish. Okay, so now we go into part two of parenting. I don't know about you guys, but I told you a little bit about me, that I'm wired as a strategist. The other aspect of Jason is that I'm wired as a problem solver. Do we have any other problem solvers in the room? And what I mean by that is you see something broken and it just eats away. Like, you can't walk past something that is broken without fixing it. If something is not, now I'm pretty anal retentive. So like, if I see a picture frame even turned, like, I can't walk past it without turning it back. If I see a book falling over, I mean, that's the way I am. But in life, some of you that raised your hand, you're wired like me in that when you see something that's broken, you just want to jump right in and fix it. And I tend to want to do that. And I oftentimes don't take into account that, okay, so the window's broken. Well, I'm sure I can figure out how to fix that. I might not know, but I'm sure I can figure it out. And I don't weigh that sometimes I probably spend too much time figuring out when I could have just hired someone to do it in a fraction of the time that could have done it way better than I did. That's a limitation that I have. But I do want to fix things. And in my marriage, in my family, I have the same tendencies. So when I see something going on with Bridget and I that I'm not happy about or that I'm concerned about, my tendency is to jump in and put all of my energy into fixing our marriage. So if Bridget and I are not quite right, I'll just dive right in and start working on it. With my children, if I see that one relationship with my children is kind of floundering, I'm not as close with them, or I feel like that they're pulling back from me, my knee-jerk reaction is to dive in and try to fix that relationship with that child and to invest all my energy in that direction. Any of you guys, you don't have to raise your hand, but any of you guys kind of feel like that? When something's not quite right, you just want to fix it? Well, when we do that, we tend to be very reactive. And a reactive parent is typically not a great parent, from the perspective, in the way that they will jump in and address something without keeping the big picture in mind. And when we do that, when we jump in and we try to fix something without keeping the big picture in mind, things tend to start to fall apart a little bit. So fortunately, God doesn't leave us hanging. He doesn't let us flounder in this. He doesn't let us just run around being firefighter parents, putting out fires, firefighter couples, putting out fires in our relationship. He gives us a set of priorities. And some of you have heard me speak on this before, and that's not the crux of the message. We're going to get into some other things. But I do want to review and touch upon a very important subject for some of you that may not have heard this before, that God tells us exactly what our priorities should be within our family. And by the way, family, defined by the Bible, family is when a man and a woman come together in the holy union of marriage. That's family. Now, some of you have had your family extended. Many of you in this room today, because you knew we were talking about parenting for 4 weeks, have an extension to your already existing family of the two of you. Some of you may not, but you still have influence over children. You can take these principles and either apply them later or share that wisdom with other parents that may be asking you or looking to you for counsel because you're an advisor to them. So take very seriously the fact that God has priorities for us. And in fact, God's priorities are the best priorities. If I could have you walk away remembering one thing from this morning, it's that God's priorities are the best priorities. Now, just like any biblical truth, there are many, many applications to this. And that's what we're going to get into this morning. But first, where do we get this from? You don't have to turn there with me, particularly if you have heard me speak on the subject before. It's just by way of review. Some of you know that one of my favorite verses in Scripture is out of Matthew 22 because I'm that strategy guy, like I mentioned at the beginning, I like to look through a grid. I like to have a framework, a structure for decisions. And I appreciate that there was a man that walked the earth at Jesus's time that was just like me. He was like, okay, I'm a Jew, Jesus. I'm a Pharisee, and I know the law, the Old Testament law, very well. 613 things to do and not to do. But can you just break it down for me and tell me what are the priorities in life? And the way that he asks it is this. He said, "What's the most important thing in the law, teacher? Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus responded to him, and he said this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." That's repeating what we find for the first time in Deuteronomy 6, but which is mentioned over and over and over again in the Old Testament. So Jesus is saying, first things first, love the Lord your God first. And then he goes on to say, this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus is saying, for all of us, for anyone that walks the earth, the greatest priority is for us to love God first. And then the second priority is to love everyone else. And then if we piece together other pieces of Scripture, we start to break down that other everyone else. So this is what it looks like. Jesus says, and hopefully you guys on the side can see this. Jesus says, the foundation of all your love, the foundation of your family, is to love me, to love God first. And this isn't a theology lesson around the sovereignty and the power of God or anything like that. We're not going to get into the details of it. But God is worthy of our love, and he is the only one worthy of the greatest portion of our love. He's saying, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind first. Then love everyone else. And if we break down that everyone else, there is only one person on the planet that each one of you are called to be one with. All the way back when marriage was introduced, Genesis 3, repeated over and over again, highlighted in Ephesians 5, a man and woman shall leave their father and mother, come together and become one flesh. There's only one person that you're called to be one flesh with, and that is your spouse. Built on the foundation of God, priority number two, your spouse. And then, if God should bless you, and you grow beyond that, you may have a child number one. You may have a child number two. You may have more. You may. But those are all on the foundation of God, my spouse, and my children. And then everyone else comes after that. So again, some of you have heard me say this many times before, that God has our priorities and that God's priorities are the best priorities. In a very practical way, you may start to live this out. You may choose. You may make the decision today that I want to start paying attention to this. So what does this look like? I'll just share for you. I'll share what I do for you. It's not a perfect example. I'm a broken individual. I fail at it miserably sometimes. But for me, in my head, because I think like this, I say, well, if these are the priorities God has given me, what does that look like? So for me, it's I try to spend time with God each day. And whatever that looks like for you, however you come in communion with him, whether that's spending time in the word, whether that's in prayer, whether that's in song, whether that's in meditation. Some of you may just read a psalm and just think about it during the day. Whatever that looks like for you. But I try to spend time with God each day. I try to spend time with my spouse each week. I don't mean that I don't see my spouse. I see my spouse every day. But we've talked about this before. It's so easy to enter logistics mode, isn't it? How's your day? Great. Go pick up Susie. Go pick up. We have to be here at this time, have to be there at that time. Sign this paper, submit this to the school. It's all logistics. That's not spending time with your spouse. That's why we push so hard on you guys, and sorry if maybe we push too hard sometimes, to spend time with your spouse each week. That's date night. Just spend time. No distractions. Don't talk about logistics. Bridget and I have a rule. We'll talk about logistics in the car, but whenever we get to where we're going, it stops. And then we start pouring into one another. Because that's the time that I have with her each week. So once a week. And then for me, again, each of my children, I give them a date once a month. And that date is specific to them. It's the things that they want to do, not the things that I want to do. And it's one-on-one with a child. Because particularly when you have multiple kids, it's so easy to forget that you need to pour into each of them individually. So again, this is a repeat for a lot of you. But I would encourage you to think about practical ways where you can live out the priorities that God has put in front of you. Now here's the new lesson. Sometimes what we do is this. We know that God's really important. We know that our spouse is really important. We know that our children are really important. We may even acknowledge they are 1, 2, and 3. But what we forget is they build, that this is a foundation. There is a big difference between this and this. Let me say that again. There's a big difference between this and this. What do you mean by that, Jason? This is, I need to give a certain amount of time to God, I need to spend a certain amount of time to my spouse, and I need to give a certain amount of time to each of my children, to my children. But the difference is, they don't build on one another. Because this is the atheist. There's no difference, right? This is the person that doesn't even acknowledge that there's a God, doesn't even acknowledge that God has given you your marriage. And when you do that, when you separate them like that and don't remember that they build upon one another, you're no different. Because guess what? I love Bridget because love is a choice. Love is an action. And I choose to love my wife, to love my Bridget, and to do the things to love her. But sometimes I don't like her. And what I mean by that is we frustrate one another sometimes. I love her and I make a choice to love her, but sometimes we're not getting along great. And if I am like this and I'm just looking at, well, I need to spend this much time with my spouse and they're independent of one another, it's really easy for me to say, she is not doing what I need her to do. Boy, this isn't what I signed up for. I thought that she was going to do this. I was sold a bag of goods because when we were dating, she did this, but now she's not because I'm looking at her independently. And the reason why God is so clear that they build is because this is dangerous. When you look at her or him independently and you say, this is what he or she is doing, is not doing, then it's really easy to say, I bet I can find somebody else that would do that. But when we bring back into the equation the foundation and we build, and I look at Bridget and I say, I love her because I choose, but today I'm not liking her so much because Jason loves everything in its place. I'll give you a little example. Okay? I'll share openly with you guys that something that we always come back to. In my house, you always put stuff back where it belongs. Amen? Who's like that, right? There's a place for everything. You always put stuff back where it belongs. Every time you pull it out, you use it, and you put it right back where it was. In Bridget's house, you use it, and you leave it where you were using it until there's so much junk all over the place that you do a major clean. So those are like polar opposites of one another. You use the scissors and you leave the scissors out. You use the glue, you leave the glue out. You take the remote into the kitchen with you, and next thing you know, it's next to the toaster. We have 5 pairs of fingernail clippers. We have a fingernail clipper little cabinet because I labeled it. There's a little file clipper little section right there, and I open it up, and there's no file nail clippers in there. There's no fingernail clippers in there because she just takes it out and they're all over the place. So this is tough in the Getz household, right? It creates friction in the Getz household. I love her though because I choose to love her. That's just a silly little example, but you guys know what I'm saying here. Because there are days when you choose to love but you may not like so much. And what I need to do on days like that, what I'm reminded of on days like that, is who God says my wife is, not who I say my wife is. It's not performance-based. It's that my wife was made. She was knit together. I'll just share with you a little bit how I need to be viewing my bride. She was knit together in her mother's womb. The Lord can count the hairs on her head. He knows her thoughts and attitudes of her heart. My wife was the grand finale of God's creation. Men, I've encouraged you, I think, in the past to do this. Look at your bride. She's the grand finale of God's creation. God was almost done, and he was like, no, man should not be alone, so I'm going to outdo everything that I've done already, stars, sky, mountains, seas, and I'm going to create her. She's the grand finale of God's creation. The Lord brought us together. Proverbs tells me that the wonderful wife is a gift from the Lord. She's a gift from the Lord. And because we share the same belief in who Christ is and what he's done for us on the cross, that we don't have to live a perfect life, but we put our faith in him, him being the Son of God. Because we share that faith together, she is an heir to the throne. She is royalty. So even when she doesn't put her stuff away and it gets me frustrated as I'm looking at her, when I look at her on the foundation of who God says she is, as an heir to the throne, it totally changes my perspective. We can't separate these. God builds them for a reason. Love God first, love our spouse, and then love our children, and then everyone else after that. God's priorities are the best priorities. Okay, now you guys are going to help me out because we're going to learn a little bit something about children today, building off of this, and I need you to help. When we move into the discussion questions, I want you to spend some time at your table becoming a student of God's word. So hopefully you brought a Bible with you today, either electronic or paper Bible. If you didn't, someone at your table did, I guarantee that. So someone there has a Bible. So I'd like you to read through Genesis 25, and then one person individually on your own, just read through it if you can, or look on somebody else's Bible. Just read those couple verses there. And then one person summarize, and then answer these questions. Is there any danger lurking for this family? Does anyone know what happened? This is the story of Jacob and Esau. Afterward. And if somebody does know that, you don't have to read on into chapter 27. But if somebody doesn't or you want to refresh your memory, just gloss over chapter 27. What can we learn from this family? And then what practical steps can we take to avoid the same pitfall? So you're going to learn together at your tables. And then I'm going to come back up and we're going to interact a little bit and summarize what we learned before we close out. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an extended time, about 20, 25-ish minutes to accomplish this. Go ahead. Now, some of you may disagree with me on this point, and I've actually had couples debate me about this, and I'm fine with the debate because I really view one of my primary roles here at the church is just to get you guys talking. Because if I get you guys talking, and you wrestle through something on your own as a couple together, then I consider that mission accomplished because I want you guys talking, communicating with one another. But you may disagree with this statement. In the Getz home, we take this priority thing real seriously. And I don't think this is straight word for word out of your Bible. But I think when God sets up this structure, I think he gives us the freedom to say things in a certain way. And in our home, this is how we say it. We actually say that, for me, I say that I love God the most, I love Bridget the second most, and then I love all of you guys, all of you kids. And the kids will, you know, you ever hear the classic, which one do you like more, me or your mom? And Bill Cosby, like your mom more, I can always make more of you, you know? But truly, I believe that God wants us to love, to put our effort into love, because we say love is an action, that God desires for us to love him the most, love my spouse, Bridget the second, and then love my children. And some parents have debated with me, well, you shouldn't hurt your children's feelings by saying that you love your mom more. And you might have heard this phrase before. The greatest gift that I can give my children is to love my spouse. I like that phrase. I just think that it's kind of numbed a little bit from what it should be for our perspective, those that follow Christ, that love Jesus. Because I think the phrase should be, I love my children, but I love God first. The greatest thing I can do for my children is to love God first and then love my spouse. So literally in our home, our children know that I love my spouse more than I love them. And I constantly remind them, and Bridget knows that I love God more than her, and she knows that she's an adult, and she can grasp it easier than I can, that that's best. She knows that when I'm loving God more, I'm going to be a better husband. And what I want my children to know is, when I love God more, and when I love my spouse next, I'm actually a better father to them. So that's what we say in our home. But now we get into the teaching for today. How was that time together? It was a little bit different. Just give me a head nod. I mean, good use of time, bad use of time. You know, talking through the word a little bit together. You guys don't even need me up here. See, you could just get together at tables, crack open your Bible, read it, and learn straight from there. You don't need me spelling it out for you. But this morning we did a little bit differently, and you got to talk with one another. So now we get down to here. Child one and child two. If you have more, you have more. What was the danger lurking for the family? Talk to me. Favoritism. Playing favorites. Playing favorites. What ended up happening to Jacob and Esau? This is like a serious story. I mean, if you look at the theological implications of this, of Jacob and Esau and how that played out and where nations came from, I mean, this is like a big, huge study. So it's really cool to even go deeper into it. But just for our perspectives, as it pertains to family, what happened to Jacob and Esau? What happened at the end in chapter 27? Somebody just summarize for me. Oh, come on, guys. You just got done talking. You're not out of words. I know you're not out of words. Ladies, I know you're not out of words. Men may have used up a whole week's worth there, but ladies, you're not out of words. Talk to me. What happened to Jacob and Esau in chapter 27? Esau sold his birthright. And then what else happened between Isaac and... What's that? Yeah. Okay, so what was happening, Kathy, if I can pick on you or someone else, if you want. So what was happening behind that? What is happening, family dynamics?
Oh, the father favored one, the mother favored the other.
Absolutely. And then how did that play out in chapter 27?
Manipulation.
Manipulation. Manipulation, lying, cheating, stealing. There was tension between the family. When we play favorites with our children, when we say child two is my favorite and child one, they get the second best, it creates huge problems within the family. And again, we see this is a major one within the Bible, but just from a family perspective, God reminds us we should not play favorites with our children. But yet, it's easy to do. And some of you might sit here today, you might say, you know, Jason, that's I've never really thought about that before, because we tend to just, again, react, right? We say, I'll go for the guy's perspective. You know, if you're a guy, if you're into music, if one of your children is musically inclined, you gravitate toward them. If you like sports and one of your children shows prowess on the athletic field, you gravitate toward them. Men, it's really easy to gravitate more toward the boys than it is toward the girls if you have both. It's just natural, right? They look like us. you know, and they kind of like the same things we do. So it's easy to gravitate toward them. There's a danger in that. You might favor one child over another for different reasons. I won't share the child's name, and this is where the cone of silence is around home front, right? But in the Getz family, Bridget and I, we have to fight that tendency. And that's why I share it with you this morning, because it's something that you can easily forget. And next thing you know, your day-to-day plays out where you're literally asking the same child more about their day than you're asking about another day. And we're going to talk about this next week, and you don't want to miss. You really don't want to miss, because we're going to talk about one of the reasons why we favor children next week. But we're also going to talk about how our lives play out raising the next generation, particularly in terms of our sin. We're going to talk about that next week and the importance of modeling. So we'll get into that. But in our family, again, without name, I married Bridget for a reason, right? I like her. She's fun. I love so many things about her. So the child in our family that is most like Bridget, it's really easy for me to focus on her. And those of you guys that are close with us know, I mean, you're like, you know it. It's easy for me to focus on her more so than the other children, because I love Bridget and she's like a little Bridget clone. So I'm like, I gravitate toward her. And it's also easy for me to gravitate toward my one son that's more athletic than the others, because I enjoy that sort of thing. And we don't even think about it. Next thing you know, that pull is taking us in different directions. So if God blesses you with multiple children, I would encourage you this morning to take very, very seriously. When it comes to loving, there is a priority, but when you get to here, if you have more than one child, you need to be very, very careful about how you interact with them. And I talked earlier about meeting children where they are. I have zero musical ability. I mean, sit next to me at church one Sunday and you will never want to be there again. I'm off key, off pitch. So I don't have musical ability, but some of my children do. And so even though I want to take them out to watch a ball game, that child isn't necessarily interested in that. So I need to meet them where they are, and I need to go out and go to a musical performance, even though it's not my thing. You know, I remember, it's a silly little example. I about a year ago, my girls, I just felt like I wasn't spending a lot of time with them, and it was one of those days I felt like it was just out of bounds, spending more time with the guys than the girls. So I just, and guys, you don't, again, cone of silence. So I created a spa. So I turned our bedroom into a spa for the day. And so I put a sign on the door, I put on a costume, and I had a spa, and I distributed coupons, and my girls came up and they went to the spa for about 3 hours. And I did their hair and I did their nails. It looked terrible, but I did it. And they still talk about it to this day, because I was meeting them where they were, not where my natural tendencies would take me. So. Oh, I forget. Do you remember? Oh, it had a very distinct. It was a very distinct. It was a very. It is a very distinct. Come on, John. You're not supposed to call me out like that. It was bad. It was bad enough that I share the spa example. All right, folks. So. Remember, our big idea for today, God's priorities are the best priorities. Let me pray for us, give you a few announcements, and then you're free to go. Father, thanks so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can just dive in together as couples. Thank you for each table, the couples at the tables, that we could share together and open your word and talk about it. Thank you, Lord, that it still applies, that it wasn't something thousands of years ago that doesn't mean anything today. But you remind us today that priorities are key and your priorities are the best. And you remind us, as it pertains to children, if we have multiple, that we need to be careful with how we treat them. Thank you for that reminder today, Lord. Thank you for your grace, which is new each day. Lord, I pray for these couples as they go forward this week, that they would live out the priorities that you have for them, and that you and your son Jesus would receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise from it. Amen. A couple quick announcements. There's a blood drive today, so needles make me pass out, but if you're into that, I would encourage you to go and give blood. The ministry fair is on August 17th. Just a heads up, we're not having Homefront that day. We're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to serve as Homefront at the ministry fair. Yeah, and some people might be interested and come and join us at Homefront because of it. But more importantly, we're just going to serve the greater church. So you're going to get details about that. But we're going to be distributing food and entertaining some kids and doing stuff, serving as a community on the ministry fair day. And then we'll hand them out flyers about Homefront. And hey, maybe they'll even like one of you guys. And then lastly, the Art of Marriage event is on August 22nd and 23rd. Just a reminder, Bob and Kathy Kennedy are right here. I've introduced them before if you have any questions about that. But it's like a little mini conference that we do during the summertime for RBC. And it's about teaching around marriage. So if you want a big shot in the arm, come to a two-day conference on Art of Marriage. It's great content, as I've said before. And then finally, your Homefront homework for this week. Continue the discussion. Ask yourselves, if you go on a date night this week, which you're going to do, right? Yeah, everybody nods. If you go on a date night this week, if you're not going on camp, you're going on a date night and you're going to say, are our priorities straight right now? Like tangibly, are our priorities straight? Are we living out this right now? And if not, what can we do right now, this week, this month, this year to change that? Have a wonderful week. I'll see you after camp, exhausted next week. See ya. You guys calling me out.
Did you guys think about having food on the bus?